Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Anna Rose MacArthur. Bethel has its first confirmed positive case of COVID-19. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation received the confirmation last night, and this morning I'm joined by YKHC Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges and Interim Public Relations Director Mitchell Forbes to talk about how YKHC is handling the case, how it is preparing for more to come, and what we as a community can do to protect ourselves and each other. Dr. Hodges, Mitchell Forbes, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Anna Rose.
Good morning. Thank you.
First off, how is the person who is diagnosed, how are they doing?
You know, Anna Rose, we can't really release any protected health information about the patient. Sorry about that, but it's the very strict federal privacy laws.
Where in Bethel is the person who was confirmed?
This person is self-isolating at their home.
And was this person already self-isolating before receiving the test confirmation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Are you able to say for how long they were able to self-isolate before?
No. Sorry about that.
And is it known if this person contracted the virus in Bethel or elsewhere while traveling?
We have really good reason to believe that this is a travel-related case. In other words, that this person potentially contracted the virus outside of Bethel.
Okay. Do you suspect at this point that community spread of the virus is occurring in Bethel?
I can't really answer that 100% for sure. So I do think, though, that it's really important for everyone who's listening to know that we need everyone to adhere to the health mandates that were put forward by the state of Alaska. So the health mandates are intended to protect each other from exposure to the virus. So these include sheltering in place, and really only leaving the house when absolutely necessary. This is a critical point, regardless of any other comments about this particular case, and keeping a good social distance, so keeping 6 feet away from anyone who's not in your immediate family. This will help decrease the spread of this highly contagious virus. We also really want people to wash their hands and disinfect things in their home that are frequently touched. And people forget things like their cell phone, light switches, doorknobs, things like that. So disinfecting high-touch areas in your home. And the last thing is a relatively new recommendation from the state of Alaska and the Center for Disease Control, which is to wear a face covering in public when social distancing isn't possible. So we would strongly encourage everyone to cover their face when they're out in public, out of their home.
Mm-hmm. And these are all ways that the community can help prevent this virus from spreading further. YKHC received the COVID-19 confirmation yesterday evening. Walk me through what happened next. What was YKHC's response?
And I'll take this one. So YKHC has been preparing for COVID-19 since February, and then we stood up our incident command system back in March, prior to even having a positive. So we've been training our staff, drilling for how to treat patients with COVID-19. We've added significantly more beds in the hospital and have worked with partners to secure additional facilities for patients needing self-isolation if we get to that point. So after we received the news last night, we began by contacting the individual who was tested to inform them of the result, and then we worked closely with the State of Alaska Section of Epidemiology and Public Health and Nursing to conduct a widespread contact tracing. And I'll let Ellen talk a little, or Dr. Hodges talk a little bit about contact tracing.
Yeah, so contact tracing is an epidemiological tool whereupon which we identify individuals who may have come in close contact with this known positive individual. And close contact is defined by CDC and the Department of Health and Social Services for the state of Alaska as a person who was less than 6 feet from the person who tested positive for more than 5 or 10 minutes. So what you do in a contact tracing is you use epidemiological tools to identify those individuals. And we spent last night reaching out to individuals who may have come in contact with this positive case.
Mm-hmm. And how many people did YKHC reach out to in this contact tracing, and what instructions were these people who were contacted given?
That's an excellent question. We did follow the state section of epidemiology and the CDC advice on exactly who needed to be contacted. And our strategy really has been all along to sort of increase our capacity for testing and for contacting people who would need to be testing. So that is an important point that everyone needs to know. The individuals who were a close contact with this positive case have been identified. They're, the ones that we have been able to contact, which is the majority of those people, have been offered testing, and they have been instructed to self-isolate. So this is in accordance both with the CDC and the state of Alaska recommendations for contacts to a known positive case. And so we gave instructions over the phone for all of those individuals. I can't really elaborate on the exact number of people that were contacted, but everyone who's listening should rest assured that we have reached the majority of those people who were in close contact.
Mm-hmm. And for confidentiality, you can't say on what date this person was tested who has been diagnosed with COVID-19, but how many days is it taking for YKHC to receive test results?
We receive test results in an average of 4 to 7 days from the time the test is able to be shipped out.
Mm-hmm. And all the people who you contacted through this contact tracing have been offered tests to be tested for this COVID-19. Do you know how many of those people are going to be tested who said that they would be tested, or is that yet to be seen?
That's yet to be seen. I should mention that we received a very positive, generally speaking, a very positive, reaction from most people wanting to be tested and wanting to be happy that they've been informed and wanting to be tested, and I feel very grateful for the people who did have to get that phone call last night.
Mm-hmm. And to date, how many tests has YKHC conducted in the region, and then of those, how many results are still pending?
We have conducted about 70 tests, and we still have 25 pending tests.
I'm curious about the calls. You said that you were receiving a positive response for that when you were contacting people. It sounds like that's not an easy call probably to make or to hear. When you're calling people, what can people expect if they receive one of those calls?
They can expect to have an individual identify themselves as calling either from public health or from YKHC, and to confirm their identity by asking their name and date of birth. And then there'll be a series of questions that the interviewer goes through with each individual patient that goes through their some of the things in their home that and then instructing them on how to self-quarantine in their home. And then also some follow-up questions just to get a good contact information and how to reach out if they need more information or help.
And then, Anna Rose, if I can just add one more thing on that. In most cases, we were able to, using the epidemiological tools that Dr. Hodges referenced, we were able to determine close contacts without having to notify the close contacts of who they were in contact with, if that makes sense. And so, obviously, above all of this, federal privacy laws are still in place, and so the privacy of our patients and individuals who are tested are the utmost importance to YKHC right now, and we're following best practices from the state of Alaska and the CDC to make sure that when we are doing our contact tracing, we're not compromising people's right to privacy.
Mm-hmm. YKHC has been preparing for cases to emerge for a while now. And now that a case has emerged, what happens next, or what is YKHC doing now? Has this set another stage of a plan that YKHC has already created into motion?
That's a really good question, and absolutely. So we had been planning and drilling for a positive result now for weeks, and this involved some really close collaboration with the State Section of Epidemiology and the public health nurses, and I can't thank them enough for their support and assistance in this matter. And so the plan is to aggressively track down contacts, encourage widespread testing, but mostly to encourage people to shelter in place and to utilize the protective measures that we already know work. So we want people to really pay attention to hand hygiene. We really want people to disinfect the high-touch surface areas of their home. And I think something that is also overlooked, perhaps, is kindness and compassion. There is an individual in our community who has tested positive for a disease that's part of a global pandemic. And there are multiple members of our community, both here in Bethel and sort of region-wide, who have been told that they're a close contact to this individual. And so I think having kindness, being kind to each other, and showing compassion in all that we do is essential. This is one of the diseases and one of the things in our community that is all of our responsibilities. There's not any one person who's entirely responsible for the management of a pandemic like this. We all have to do our part. And staying home and leaving the home only when absolutely necessary, washing your hands frequently, and covering your face when you're in public is really essential for all of us to have a part of in this type of pandemic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And what is the current testing capacity at YKHC?
We have adequate testing capacity for the contact investigation that we are currently conducting, and for increased testing criteria and capacity for the community at wide. So people at this point in time, if they call the COVID hotline or reach out to their community health aide, there is adequate testing.
And will you remind us again of what the criteria is that people need to meet in order to receive a test?
So right now, if a person has a fever, cough, or shortness of breath, we would recommend that they call the COVID hotline, and the nurses, these are nurses who work for YKHC and are here in our community right now, will speak with the people who call that number and go through kind of a screening questionnaire to see if they should possibly be tested. People who have traveled out of the region, we're definitely interested in those people. If they have a cough, fever, or upper respiratory symptoms. The other thing, there's a lot of other symptoms that we're starting to realize that people with COVID might have. So this includes a loss of a sense of smell or ability to taste. And there's a small percentage of people who have a diarrhea. So those are also some other things that people should be on the lookout for. But when I was talking this over with the State Section of Epi last night, one of the points that their epidemiologist made was that many, if not most, of the people who are being tracked down and tested statewide have few, if any, symptoms. And this is really important because we know that even though a person may or may not have symptoms, or they have only mild symptoms such as a slight runny nose or a cough, they're still able to make other people sick. And this is why socially distancing yourself and sheltering in place is absolutely critical to lowering the spread of this contagious virus, because the person who has the symptoms might be so mild they don't even notice it, or they may not have any symptoms at all. It's possible that up to a quarter or 25% of the people who are positive for this virus have minimal to no symptoms. And that is one of the problems in a contact investigation like this, and one of the reasons why we're offering widespread testing, because of this asymptomatic or very little symptomatic people.
Mm-hmm. And it emphasizes what we were saying of social distancing, of wearing a face covering in public, of vigilantly washing hands and high contact surfaces as well. In the press release issued yesterday where YTHC announced that the first case had been confirmed in Bethel, it also said that the patient was working with the Alaska Section of Epidemiology and local government officials. You've gone into the Alaska Section of Epidemiology with the contact tracing. What is the participation with local government officials looking like?
This is Mitchell, and I can take this question. So we've been, YKHC has been in touch with the City of Bethel, mainly on logistical matters. Right now, our response to COVID-19 is very much within the bounds of YKHC's capacity. Like I said, we've been preparing for this for several weeks, and so we've kept the city informed, and we host weekly calls with our local and regional partners. But right now, a lot of our response is happening internally at YKHC.
Mm-hmm. YKHC strongly suspects that this case is a travel-related case where the person would have contracted the virus outside of Bethel. Are you able to say where the person traveled from?
No, like we said earlier, we're very concerned about the privacy of this individual, and so we have very little information that we'll be sharing on the individual.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an update on the mask making effort? YKHC is leading an effort and distributing materials to make 4,000 masks. The community is participating. People within YKHC are participating. How is that effort going?
Yeah, I just really appreciate the public outpouring of support for our mask-making project. So we're making masks out of something called sterile wrap. It's a material that we use to wrap our sterile instruments before they're placed in the autoclave. So this material is washable and also has an ability to be sterilized in our autoclave. So it's an ideal material for some of our homemade masks. So we've distributed kits throughout the community with the help of the Bethel Community Services Foundation. And then our very own dental department is running a sewing workshop downstairs in our dental department to prepare masks as well. And I should mention that 4,000 was only the first step. I'd be happy to have a lot more. This epidemic, global pandemic that we're having isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And so our healthcare workers and our community are going to need masks for quite some time. So the idea would be to keep up with the need for masks in both our community and in our villages with handmade masks from this sterile wrap.
Dr. Ellen Hodges, Mitchell Forbes, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Coffee at KYUK.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thank you for listening. Grady, back to you.
Thank you, Anna Rose, and stay healthy. As is the watchwords for everyone, stay healthy. Just looking over the day's events, you know, stay tuned to KYUK, Native America Calling coming up, and of course, Talk of Alaska today, as it's Tuesday, is the order of the day. And don't forget what I tell you all the time is don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.
Charlie Soup.